She is an incredible TV host. She's a journalist. She's written books. She's done stage shows. She's done documentaries in Africa. She's my mentor and my very dear friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Gretel Colleen.
I don't want to be your mentor.
Are we framing this as a standing ovation? This woman is here.
And for everybody watching, I have low energy today because we've been doing shows down in Adelaide. So I haven't slept for a couple of nights. And I'm a bit scared of your energy.
Don't be frightened of my
energy. I'm trying to bring yours down to mine.
Are you
to
drunk?
A chilled. No, well, it depends what you put in this water.
So have you been partying the last few days? Did you have like a rap party after your fringe festival?
You know, you do gigs and I'm in a band with it. So it's not just me doing stand-up. I perform with a band called the Gretzkys.
What?
And then, so you do a gig and then you have drinks with the people you went with and we all stay in the same
bed.
Airbnb, you know, the band does. So then we've got to break it down, you know, the whole night.
Okay.
So then, you know, you go to bed at 1:30 or whatever it is, and then we had to get up early to fly back to Sydney today.
And what are your songs about?
Well, the whole show has been about love. Mm. It's the Love Love Club. Mm-hmm. And we were a bit limited by lack of talent. I didn't think we had such a lack of talent. But
is this the first time you've ever been in a band?
No, I was in a band, which was also not very talented. Mm. And we used to have to change the name of the band after every gig because we were so shit that people wouldn't come if we kept
them. I used to be in a band called Polish.
How was
back in the 90s, and all these Polish people started showing up to see us play, and they asked for a refund, which was only $5 because we charged fuck all.
That was a lot.
Places where I was
and was it like a polished turd?
Well, we just thought we were a polished act, but yeah, I know what you're saying. You can only polish a turd so much.
What kind of music did you do?
It was pop punk.
Really?
And here's a little bit of it right now. I'm so glad you said that. It gives me the first opportunity to ever play my band.
Well, just sing a bit of it for us.
Which song would you like? Would you like... do we have a guitar?
No. Let's not stretch this moment.
There's songs, like beautiful love songs like Aliens Cut Off My Cock, It's My Car, You Can't Have It, It's Not Insured.
Nice.
You'll Go Blind, which is too much. Remove My Rib, which is about all the people around the world who've had a rib taken out so they can look after themselves. But enough about me. Let's talk about your band. Did you have singing lessons?
No. There was no need. I was just like, I could
was
just
it rapping?
Sing.
Were you rapping more than
no,
singing?
No.
Was it slam poetry with music?
No.
What was it?
Why would you even suggest that?
I haven't seen it. I'm trying to figure it out.
No, it turns out I can sing. Like,
give us some. I.
Well, as you can hear from my voice, I can't necessarily. We do a prayer. That's quite fun. We do a sex bomb version of Sex Bomb, but really slow, kind of indie version of that.
Sex Bomb. Is that it?
No. Not really. And that would put many people off. That's like a contraceptive, the way you sang that. Yeah.
What's the prayer? What are you doing a prayer?
The prayer, remember, I'm a comedy person. So with prayer is a Celine Dion song, but there's a bit of an opera bit where Pavarotti or someone or other comes in, so we do that. We play around with it. I think it's really important to push what you think you're capable of doing. Just keep pushing it. And in art, there are no rules. People love us singing.
Yeah.
We get people to sing along because I think they're kind of surprised that some people know I do comedy, but others know I'm a writer or host TV or whatever. Mm. But I'm also a political commentator and social and political commentator. Mm. And I just think it's really great to be able to get up on stage and say, you know what, in the arts there's no right or wrong. Give it a go. It's healthy to express it. And everybody has a hoot, and of course their lives are changed for the better because they're made very brave and bold. I do just need to explain to anyone watching this that my level of exhaustion means I'm seated in a strange position because I'm being lazy and I'm holding the mic like
a
little
puppy.
You're the
first person that's ever been on this show, it's only had a few guests, that has actually decided to sit back like, I might try that.
It's just so much more relaxing. Yeah. You rest it on the edge.
I just worry that we're shaking the microphone. If you're listening to this at the podcast, Gretel is just sitting back in the chair.
No, I'm a professional.
She's got the microphone sort of aiming up at her face.
And it's resting on the armrest and I'm holding it with my elbow. So you might not be able to do all those things at once.
That's good. You're looking good. So you mentioned that you're a political commentator. Do you enjoy doing that?
I enjoy having opinions. I don't enjoy having speaking about things that I know nothing about. So I try to find, because that's just silly, that just adds to the volume. But I do think we live in a society where people give themselves the excuse not to think.
Do you think that people give an opinion based on feeling rather than facts sometimes, but based on something they might have heard on the radio or the television, rather than finding out the facts for themselves?
So do you mean feeling or, I mean, you mean ignorance?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
I think we give ourselves the excuse that we're so busy. And I think it's ridiculous because I don't think we're busier than any generations have ever been over however many years Homo sapiens have been on the planet. I think we're just egotistical. And I think that is why we end up with really shit leaders, because people don't bother to think or analyze.
Think for themselves.
Well, just to think for themselves, you know, to actually have a perspective. And now, of course, we have situations, as we all know, where you have input that mirrors what you already think anyway, with that whole silo effect.
Yeah, the whole Facebook thing.
Yeah, so what we do, I really like to shake things up. When we did... I don't know if you ever saw the series I was acting in, and Casey Anning did
Minister
it.
For Men.
Minister for
Love
Men.
Love that. What happened with that? Is that coming back?
No, it's not coming back. But really interesting thing about that was it was talking about a political situation whereby a woman is the Minister for Men.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Tony Abbott was the Minister for Women, which is just ludicrous. Yeah. But it's the power of comedy, you know, to actually make a difference. And we're seeing that all around the world. So many of the really great minds are comedians.
Yeah,
and
they are. Like Joe Rogan. I mean, his podcast, he's a great comedian, and he's there talking about, you know, all the issues that are going around at the moment and getting up on his pedestal. Yeah. And he's a really intelligent guy, because comedians are deep thinkers.
Well, I think a lot of TV, like primetime TV hosts doing it too, and they've got amazing writers.
Yeah.
So I think
they're copying a bit of flack about that though sometimes, like Jimmy Kimmel, people saying, oh, how come Jimmy Kimmel can be political and controversial? Because he's been a comedian his whole life. He should be allowed to occasionally be controversial and say his opinion and show there's a little bit more substance to him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be pretty clever to be hosting a show like that anyway. But he can do what he wants. It's his show. But a lot of people are still doing it. Jimmy Kimmel doesn't necessarily do it with humour. But a lot of other hosts, you know, even Samantha Bee, who's a great, she's got a great team and bang, 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 great commentary and great research. And that's the way, if you make it entertaining, people want to listen.
They get the point a little bit more
than
hearing some boring journalist drone on about some political stance. But if someone's made a comedic point about it, then they can sort of understand it and form an opinion, or do some research and form an opinion.
Yeah, I was listening to quite a few of our political reps talking. God, they're boring. Like, get some bloody talking lessons. Well, learn how to say something interesting and be interesting and light and shade and a bit of a gag.
That shit. They play them just banging so on dull. In Parliament for hours and hours.
Well, no, this is even in a vox pop out in the street, you know, in an improvised press conference, and they'll have some, who are those people who stand behind them and just nod as though great profundity is being
the
expressed.
Nodding people.
It's just, you know, we're capable of more than this.
We're not stupid. I think a lot of politicians think we're dumb.
Well, I think why not be a great orator? I'm just going to lift this up here now because my energy's coming back.
If you're listening to this and not watching, Gretel is lifting the microphone.
I'm lifting the mic
and putting it on the desk. She's now tilting it forward to her mouth.
Well, not, you know, to the side like that.
You know what I hate about the way politicians speak is they never answer a question directly. They say yes or no. It's always like, well, my constituents and I, and they just sort of baffle on for a while and then give you some roundabout medium sitting on the fence answer because they don't want to piss anyone off.
Well,
much like television nowadays.
Yeah, television can be a little bit banal. Not so much television, but opinions. But there are some wonderful people out there in Australian political commentary as well. It's so well informed.
Who's your favourite?
I really like Insiders, actually.
Oh, I haven't watched Insiders.
Oh, it's great. It's on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on the television, and then it's also
I'm
on
asleep.
The radio. It's also on the radio later.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they're just highly, they're all political journos. and they're highly in tune with what's going on. Largely they live in Canberra, so they're embedded in that kind of world. And I like that because, you know, we have our areas of expertise. Mm. Mine is people, not policy.
Yeah.
Mine's how do we feel about this and what are we capable of doing? So anyway, really when we're singing our, or when I'm doing the live shows in any capacity, it's all about let's push our boundaries and see what we're all capable of doing, like just being bloody braver and aiming a bit higher. I think somehow this weird mundanity has entered so many people's lives. They just get up, they go to work, they're bored. What are you doing? And they're such boring people. They become boring. And how are you when you're talking to really boring people? I feel car sick. Yeah. I can't deal with it. How do you cope?
I just tell them things that aren't true and watch them believe me and find that really amusing. Would you ever be a politician?
No. No, I wouldn't.
It's a very thankless job and everyone's having it a go at you from left, right and centre. Do you think Oprah is going to run?
I doubt it.
Do you think she'd do all right if she did?
Yeah, she's a smart woman. She's been so, I want to say prescient. She's been so ahead of her time but able to sense what was around the corner. Mm. I think she's amazing, but perhaps she is a sign that sometimes bigger things can be done outside the actual political framework. Mm. She's a very influential person. Would you go into politics?
No. No, my stepdad was a federal politician for about 30 years.
Wow. And what did you think of that lifestyle?
It was a very thankless job he had. Very difficult, but a lot of long hours and always people having a go at you. I mean, you've got half the people hate you and half the people love you. I don't think Oprah would be able to handle that because that's instantly what it would turn into.
Oh, she'd already be familiar with that, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be that bad right now, but if she became a politician, she'd have to deal with a lot of skeletons that come out of the closet.
There would, no, I don't think. She's been a high-profile figure.
In Harvey Weinstein's ear or whatever.
No. I mean, when you've been a high-profile figure for that long, which is a very, very long time, there would be nothing in the closet to come out, I'd be pretty sure. And also, she's a high-profile African-American woman. She would have been the target of so much
crap.
It would be seamless. It's simply whether she wants to do it or not.
You mentioned doing things outside of politics to achieve more. You made a documentary in Africa about, I think it was kids with AIDS.
AIDS orphans. Children in Zambia and they'd lost their parents to AIDS. And sometimes it was parents and aunts and uncles and their own siblings. Sometimes it was quite a few years ago. My son and daughter came with me. I think it's
Epiphany and Zeke.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when you've got experiences like we've had where people might know your name or recognize you. Mm. It can open up really interesting experiences, can't it? Where you end up traveling around the world doing a doc. But it also, you have to have that knack to know when to say no and when to say yes. And also,
what do you mean to doing those kind of things?
Not just that, but anything that comes into our lives. Mm. Sometimes amazing opportunities land on your doorstep.
Yeah.
And sometimes you really have to be savvy and see an opportunity which is at the time just a little sliver of light. Mm. You know, others might not recognize it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you've got to be ready to pitch 10 things and half of one of them ever happens.
Mm. Was that life-changing going to Zambia and seeing how the other half live and seeing what they're going through over there?
Well, I've been involved. I was a UNICEF ambassador for 7 years. Mm. And I've done various other projects for different organisations around the world. And I'd always travelled to developing countries. So, no, it was, all of it is incremental. But it's not like I had only ever travelled to Paris and London and all of a sudden we're there. I was familiar with that. But the intimacy, and that's the thing with the kind of travel I do, it allows you to actually get into people's lives, not just be visiting the Taj Mahal or whatever one is visiting. You're in people's homes, you're eating with them, you're cooking, chasing the chicken that gets killed, and experiencing it absolutely intimately. And that's the kind of, that's what I like doing.
What's your favourite place in the world you've travelled to?
Well, Antarctica is amazing.
Yeah, wow, cool.
Yeah, I love that trip. I was Abercrombie and Kent sent me there I was doing some travel writing for them.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And it was so splendid.
It's like another planet.
Oh, incredible. And so sad that it's going, but the wildlife is...
Is it going, though?
Oh, what you're questioning...
Well, no, I never used to question it. I just believed everything I saw on CNN. But a good mate of mine who's the political editor of The Australian... No, used to be political editor. Now he's the environmental reporter. He lives in Mexico, travels the world, does environmental stories. And I said, what the fuck's going on? Is Antarctica shrinking? Is it growing? He said, you can't get a straight opinion from any scientist because they are all like, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But they won't come straight down the line and say, this is the way it is. It could be shrinking, and it could be the way that the planet's being treated by mankind at the moment. But because of the cycles of the planet, you can't put your finger on it. Like, maybe it's going to grow back.
When I was there, yes, you could certainly see huge mountains of ice cracking and tumbling. But I've also been to other areas which were previously ice mountain lakes or fjords or whatever else, and they've gone.
Mm.
And you know what? I don't think it really matters what language you want to use around it. Is it climate change or isn't it? I think we pollute this planet, that's wrong.
Look at the oceans and some of that. So some whether of the stories you, that are going around about how bad the oceans are all over the world.
Yeah, but I'm also talking about, you know, it's all unnecessary putting these pollutants into the air, into the water, into wherever we are. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's what climate change is about. Yeah. It's really about polluting and the consequences of that. Yeah. So whether or not, it's such a silly thing people going on about, do you believe? And doesn't matter.
Yeah,
stop polluting. Just stop doing it and the world will be a better place.
Figure out a way to put less crap into the sky.
Yeah.
So the air's cleaner.
Because the argument should really be not do you believe in climate change or don't you, but do you believe that these pollutants should go into the water that then is fed to these people? Mm. Do you believe that this should go into the air that we then breathe? And that's not even a belief system. That's a sheer bloody logic.
How do we step back from this industrial age that we're in at the moment? Like, do we just have to put more money into nuclear power, solar power? Because solar's not working out. I got solar panels on my roof in Queensland at my place, and it's not made any difference to the power bill. You know,
well, for most people it does. Maybe you haven't connected them
maybe it's
to
fine.
Something.
My electricity companies.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Be surprised.
I think renewables are the way to go. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's amazing what people can achieve when they're up against it, you know, when they really have to.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about nuclear power? What do you think of that?
I'm not a big fan just because of the. That's why I like renewables because they're so little that you have to dispose of afterwards.
Hmm.
And
why don't we just put it back in the ground where it came from? It's because it's radioactive when it's down there. I don't understand why they don't just go, okay, we used it, here's the waste, back where it was.
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that because other things have been added to it.
Yeah.
But what's your big passion nowadays?
My big passion is, charity-wise, I'm working with the Charlie Teo Foundation and raising money because Charlie's just started this organisation. He's one of Australia's, if not one of the world's best neurosurgeons.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest killer of people under 40 in this country. And it's...
Brain cancer.
Yeah. It's way underfunded. They need money for research and...
They just got a huge amount of government funding.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Glad I had you on the show. Well, I'm not working for Charlie Teo now that you've said that.
I don't mean Charlie Teo in particular, but it's been amazing, the
brain
recognition.
Cancer. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And so, what else are your passions? Because we haven't seen each other for a long time.
Yeah, well, I'm driving a car from London to Mongolia in a couple of months. It's called the Mongol Rally. And one of the rules is you've got to drive a car that's less than a litre, like a really small shit box. So we've got this red Toyota Yaris. We'll put it up on the screen because my mate's in London at the moment. He's already bought it. And we're going to drive 15,000 kilometres from London to Mongolia.
How much time do they give you?
You can do it in 2 weeks or you can do it in a month and a bit. Or we're going to go in about a month.
And do you get sponsored along the way?
We're trying to pull in a few sponsors. There's a couple of people who have thrown us a bit of money. We had a fundraiser the other night at the Bucket List in Bondi. And
was it great?
A whole heap of people came down and supported us. Charles Billich came down, auctioned off a couple of paintings. He's an incredible Australian painter.
But is it a fundraiser for what?
Charlie Teo.
Oh, so that is so we chose, him as well.
We chose our charity, and it was Charlie because, I mean, you know, Marcella Zamanek and Stan Zamanek died from brain cancer. He's a radio announcer, pardon me, in Sydney. And Marcella and Stan used to babysit me when I was a kid. And my mates who I'm going on this trip across from London to Mongolia, across Europe, we've got a mutual friend who recently died of brain cancer. And my mate Sam, who's doing the drive with us as well, when he was young, his brother died of brain cancer. And there's a few other stories that are just the planets have aligned. And I hosted another fundraiser about 6 months back in Brisbane. A friend's family member had a kid with brain cancer. I thought, well, I just got to try and do something to raise money, raise awareness. And I think probably raising awareness is really important in some cases, more so than just what we can do for money-wise, because the government needs to kick in a lot more money for research if it's killing that many people. And a lot of people who get diagnosed with brain cancer, the doctors, surgeons say, no, sorry, we can't. It's too far gone. But Charlie Teo is one of the only people who will actually have a crack at it. Pretty smart guy. But other than that, working at the Commonwealth Games and, you know, wherever the next big show's happening, the odd MC gig, maybe an album coming out soon. It's a...
yes, do tell.
I'm recording an album in London, and it's an Iron Maiden cover album, but it's in polka music.
And how do you do that with the rights if it's Iron Maiden? Do you know?
Oh, they'll approve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just talk to the... publishers and sort out a deal. It's actually a guy from Billy Ray Cyrus's band by the name of Brandon Friesen.
Great.
Who's got a recording studio in LA. And we came up with this idea yesterday when we were drunk. And we've decided we're going to do it. But this is just, you just turned the whole interview thing around and just thrown it at me like I've got to figure out where I'm going and what I'm doing.
Because, well, it's very hot in here. Isn't it? Don't take your clothes off because
you've done nude stuff before.
I haven't, and it will be revolting.
I don't think so. Hey, so you've got a book out at the moment. You've written like what? How many? 20 books?
28.
28 books.
Yeah, some of them are bestsellers, which is nice.
Yeah, well done.
This is one I wrote myself. It's about it's when you begin, you think it's a fable for children, but then it gets more and more intense. It is a fable, but it's about standing up and having an opinion. It's about being different and celebrating difference, really. So, because my basic premise is that there are so many people, what am I saying? That human beings, we're all different, and there's kind of a reason for that. In the whole world, there's different species, everything plays a role, and human beings have that too. We all have a function to play by expressing who we actually are. Mm. And at the moment in our society, we just hear one really loud, booming voice telling us what we should buy.
What we should do. That's usually my voice on a commercial.
It's like your voice on a commercial. Or, you know, the politicians telling it and creating this notion. Own this. And I just think other voices help to balance that.
Nice.
And, you know, when I think about this ridiculous kind of trip along we're going to, how have so many people in the world suddenly become entangled with possibilities of conflict with Russia or with North Korea when everybody's just, majority of people are just wanting to lead their own joyful lives and love the people that they love.
So it's celebrating differences. Different people of different culture.
It's to encourage people in particular. I wrote it during the same-sex marriage equality debate, but it's also about creativity. It's about just standing up, taking the time to bloody express who you are, because also I think not doing that is just an absolute toxin. Mm. And we see that with people all around us. So it's not an easy thing to do, but that's what this story is. And I published it myself, which I'd never done before. And it's called The Zebra Who Lost Its Spots.
Yeah.
And we will show a picture of it here. You'll put it in between my hands like
that.
Oh,
that's an amazing book. Look at the cover.
Look at that, which I designed.
It's so bright.
Well, it's not actually bright, but you're imagining.
Did you paint that cover?
Yes, in a way.
Amazing.
So we'll imagine the book is there. It's blue and white stripes, and it's called The Zebra. There it is, The Zebra Who Lost Its Spots. And people can get that from my website, actually.
Cool, gretelkleen.com.au.
gretelkleen.com.au. And I'm really proud of it. And we're going to turn that into a live show as well.
Oh, really good.
Which I think will be fabulous.
Yeah, cool. If you need anyone to be in the zebra outfit, let me know.
Thank you.
You can have that up on stage. That's unreal.
Have you got a zebra outfit?
No, but I can get one.
Can you?
I've got a lion outfit. And
cool.
The Sydney Kings mascot. And I used to be the mascot for the Manly Sea Eagles, so I think that qualifies.
Have you got a Sea Eagle outfit?
No, but I can get it back because someone else is doing it now. I'm not doing it anymore.
How often did you dry clean it?
Not very often, but it used to get really hot in there because you got like thick padding like around this bird suit. And so you'd be in your underpants basically, running around Brookvale Oval.
Gross.
Cheering on your team. And there's something invigorating about being practically naked in front of 10,000 people and them screaming, yay,
but is
go
it practic-
Eagle the Sea Eagle.
Is it practically naked? I mean, just as many layers on.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, still.
You just felt nude.
I felt nude because it's got the big gap around the suit.
Oh, I see.
But once someone ripped my beak off, and because I was only 15.
Oh, I was thinking when you were a lion and I thought, why did you beak?
Sorry, the Sea Eagle, not the lion. But someone ripped my beak off.
That's harsh. And
it was really embarrassing because everyone see who I was and my face was just sticking out like this. And I'm like, come back with my fucking beak. Hey, wait. And because they're all kids from school who ripped my beak off. And kid the year above me is going, I've got Goldman's beak. I've got Goldman's beak. I'm wrestling with this guy trying to get my beak back.
Did you get it back?
Yeah, and punched him in the face as well.
Don't encourage violence.
Yeah, no, but he used to beat me up at school anyway, so I thought it was fair. And he couldn't hurt me because I was inside this bird suit.
How old were you during this?
14 or 15.
Oh, okay.
So fighting, really? Fighting's all right when you're that old. Probably even younger, probably about 13 actually.
Or was it very recently?
Do you think that I'd do that kind of a job now? Come on, Gretel, Colleen.
Yes.
Maybe I would. What's one of the weirdest jobs you've ever done over the years?
When I was about 14, I used to restring tennis rackets.
Really?
Yeah. And my friend and I used to sell, when we were about 13, herb and flower mats at the train station, which were like, they looked like squares of carpet, but when you watered them, plants grew out. We used to tell them that other things grew in it, but it didn't. It was just herbs or flowers. We used to make quite a bit of money out of that.
Oh, cool.
And weird other gigs. I don't know. I mean, everything we do is kind of weird, isn't it? When you're doing a comedy gig or when you're doing an MC gig, there's always something weird going on. It's smoke and mirrors that our audience doesn't know how bizarre the backstage story is, don't you reckon?
There's some crazy stuff that happens backstage in television, in, behind the scenes at radio stations even, stage shows.
Are you planning on getting back even more into television?
Well, I've got this show going and it's getting a really good following and maybe I won't need to be in TV. I think TV's kind of dying.
Yeah, it's interesting,
isn't it? Nick's always
going to
be there, but I'm only going to look at the ratings over the last 10 years and they're just on a slippery slope.
So you're going to do more and more online stuff?
Yeah.
Get it out there, man.
Why let all the YouTuber kids have all the fun? Why can't I get in there and have a crack?
Well, you're having a crack
but
right
hey,
now.
But hey, I'm not saying that I'd knock back a game show 7 out of 10 if you're watching right now.
You'd be very good at that.
Yeah, that'd be good fun. I'd love to do something like that. What about you? What's next on the cards?
Well, I have a company. We produce live shows. I really love that. I love the power of that. And I'm thinking that I might start exploring this kind of medium, but...
So we could see the Gretel Colleen show.
Yeah, we might, but then I think...
It's so easy, though, to sit in your lounge room from your phone. You can flick it to the TV and all of a sudden you're watching the show. Or Alexa, you can go, hey, Alexa, play the Gretel Colleen podcast and it'll be bang, it's playing it there
but
for you first thing
in the
morning.
But do you think there are so many voices out there with podcasts and... Do you think it
gets
saturated?
That's no reason to not do it, though, just because there's so many other people doing it. I don't think that there's anyone like you on the planet. And you've got a lot of fans who would love to hear you do something every week. And I think it's really important if you are going to do something, you've just got to be consistent and do it every single week so people get used to listening to it and it becomes a habit for them.
Yeah. Well, we love our Josh Wade. He is a great advocate of this.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Josh Wade has started a network of with another guy called Sam Lindell, who you met, and they're promoting comedy tours. They're also doing this whole podcast TV show network.
You've got to be so bold in all this, don't you? You know,
but
so
you can't do it all yourself.
No, you can't.
I've got Frankie over here. Frankie's amazing. Frankie's shooting and helping, Vision Switch It All and those guys.
Frankie's texting someone over there. What are you doing, Frankie?
I don't know, he's texting. I think he's writing down what everything that we're... He's got in charge of the Hansard.
Yeah, he's getting legal advice on all the stuff you're like, saying.
He's actually going through job offers online looking for his next gig.
Yeah, he's texting the police, help.
So what was it like being a single mum, you know, bringing up two kids, and for a while there you were on the front page of the paper every single week, we're hosting, you know, national primetime TV show, the number one rating show in Australia. Was that tough back then? Because people would be so critical of you back in the early 2000s, or of anyone on television that was hosting a primetime show. How did you handle that?
You know, it's so long ago. I don't know. I think you either have a personality where you go, oh my God, and freak out, or you just get on with it. Mm. Those things are hard. I'm a really big advocate of people talking about how hard things are. I was talking recently, I saw David Letterman interviewing George Clooney. Mm. And George Clooney just sounded like, I would imagine he has very challenging things in his life, but he sounded like he went from blessed situation to blessed situation to blessed. And I thought, what's anyone going to learn from this other than they have nothing in common with you? Which I think, just to get back to Oprah, is part of the reason for her success, that she shares her struggle times and her realization. So,
can you believe, just back on the George Clooney thing, he started a tequila company with his buddy.
I know.
3 years later, gets $1 billion.
But, I know.
You know. He does get travel around the world, you know, trying to get African nations leaders to give back the money that they stole from their people. And, you know, when he was a kid, his dad, who was a TV presenter, used to take him at Christmas time with his sisters to go and clean people's houses just to show how the other half lived. And he's always been involved in charity in a big way. So he says. And
no, he seems like a very good person, but it was just, I think there's just so much of our society, you know, even with your people's social media presence. Mm. Oh, look how perfect this is. Oh, no, there's no...
A lot of the time people are putting out a persona.
Oh, it's just
and
rubbish.
And probably a lot of kids out there, they think that persona is real, and they think, because I don't have that, my life is ruined.
We know that the level of depression has gone up since all of this social media has come in. And that's why when you say, what was it like doing something like that, it was hard. And that's why I say, you know, what's it like? You've got to be able to see opportunities or whatever when we talk about careers.
You really do, don't you?
You've got it. You know, there's no way what we do is easy.
Yeah.
And there's no way most people's lives are easy. And that's what our leaders should be saying. They should be telling people, you know what? We get up, our goal is to be happy and with the people we love and to look after them, have a roof over our head, eat nice food, be happy. How are we going to do that? You know, that's
Fraser
the priority.
Once famously said, life wasn't meant to be easy.
Yeah.
It is tough. And I think the people who actually have a good story and they say how they came from nothing and they worked really hard of it and got somewhere, like, you know, Will Smith and The Rock, I mean, they're doing a lot of video blogging online at the moment talking about their childhood. I mean, The Rock's talking about how he, you know, got arrested a few times when he was a kid. I was just watching in an Uber on the way here and how he had a mentor at school, was his coach, took him under the wing and he started playing football. And I think people telling stories about their lives rather than posting a photo of them next to a Ferrari, they're probably least.
Yeah, not all the glam, the truth. Because then we help each other because we go, you know what, I had a hard time. And the thing I did during that hard time was this. Mm. I was having a chat with a taxi driver about that recently. It was from Pakistan. We're just talking about, how do you stop worrying in the middle of the night? Now, that's just so much bigger connection than someone telling you, oh man, I just bought another house. Oh, who cares, you boring turd?
Clips your wings, just rent. You can't go anywhere if you buy a house. House prices are ridiculous in Sydney.
Well, but that's really interesting too, isn't it? The whole mobile existence and how do you do that? Mm. And that's what all this information does. It gives us access to stuff that will teach us about opportunities and so life gets bigger and bigger. And so you're doing this.
How do you stop thinking in the middle of the night? What did you tell your taxi driver?
Well, look, there are several things, but that one was about
tequila.
Just so many people are worried, you know. I think tequila might help people worry in the middle of the night. When you have a drink before you go to bed, it tends to make people worry a bit for some reason. I don't know why.
I wasn't endorsing it, I was just being a dick. But
you know, there are things. Sometimes people eat a banana.
Yeah.
I think your brain gets hungry and it needs something to do, your brain, not, and so you have to learn how to give your brain something else to do.
I taught myself, well, actually I didn't, I learned from someone how to shut my brain off and stop thinking and clear my mind. It was a guy by the name of Lee Nelson.
Yeah, and what do you do?
And he won the Aussie Millions at poker. He won $1 million.
Yeah.
And he would meditate.
Oh, because you hosted that, didn't you?
Yeah, I hosted a celebrity poker show with him. I can say this now, it's years later, but they rang me up and said, hey, do you play poker? We've got a poker TV show for you to host. I'm like, yeah, shit, yeah, snap.
Fabulous.
Which is not a poker thing.
Well, it could be.
When you put the cards down.
Poker, no, polka, yeah. You're really covering the letter P.
I love the polka stuff.
Yeah. So and, what happened? What did he say?
He said when he's sitting at the table, he showed me his little trick that he uses when he wants to go to sleep as well and clear his mind and stop thinking things. He says, speak mind and I will listen. And it's basically you're tricking yourself into looking at your thoughts and you're watching your thoughts.
Yeah.
And you realize that your thoughts are sometimes utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the Dalai Lama calls it the monkey brain.
Yeah.
You know, because your brain's just going, most of the time it's just sugar because all your meat and muscle and everything in your head is just creating these strange thoughts that are going all over the shop, which sometimes can be really creative, interesting things.
Yeah.
But when you don't want them there, you need to be able to turn them off. So lying there over and over again, saying, not out loud, just in your head, speak mind and I will listen. It just clears your brain and it's been amazing.
So you just say that. You don't actually visualize what you're thinking.
Just you could, and you focus on your breathing as well.
So a mantra.
That helps, yeah.
I do that. Well, the modification I've done, I don't know if this is actually it because I don't remember the actual one, but you breathe in for 4, hold for 7, breathe out for 8 when you can't sleep. And it's miraculous how sometimes you really have to push your thoughts away.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are things. Australia has the second highest depression use of antidepressants in the world.
Really?
Well, I was reading that recently. Yeah, who knows? Wow. I might have suddenly been overtaken.
Hopefully
but that's
we don't
not
head
good.
In that direction and start taking all the drugs like Americans do, because you get all those commercial breaks. Every single commercial break in the States is about some form of drug that people.
Well,
are
our antidepressant usage is higher than this.
What?
Per capita? Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what I was reading recently. So.
Wow.
So that's why it doesn't make sense. But that's why, you know, with your podcast, which is fabulous, thank you for having me on, I think it's just really great to tell people, you know, the ups and downs of what you do and how hard it is and where you get resilience.
I was talking to a mate of mine the other day. He's putting together an album with a whole heap of Australian rock stars. I don't think he wants to announce it yet, so I won't say his name or what it is. But in the entertainment industry, the suicide rate's really high.
Yeah.
Because people have these incredible highs and then they're like, oh shit, what do I do now?
Yeah.
It's all over. And we've lost so many incredible people along the way because of that depression.
Yeah. And it's really hard too, because in this industry, and so many people aspire to be artists and be creatives now.
Yeah.
There's no ladder. You don't work really hard and then you get promoted and then you get promoted. You can be hosting the most amazing television show in the country, and for that very reason, you're unemployable. Yeah. As soon as you lose it. So, oh no, that's interesting. I'll look forward to hearing about that.
Did you find out over the years because you hosted a show or you worked on a show, someone says, oh, you can't do this now?
I think there's generally...
Getting pigeonholed.
Well, I think there's kind of a mathematical equation that as long as you're in the primary spotlight, it's kind of as long as you'll be out of it as well. It's, you know, nothing comes free in life. You pay a price for everything. But that actually can be good too. Now, this is a pretty exciting adventure, but you have to be a lot braver and stronger than our wussy leaders would have us imagine. You actually have to find people around you who can encourage you, not pull you down.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter if it's two people, it doesn't have to be 50,000 friends.
Who encourages you? Who do you rely on for positive words?
I have one friend who's a vault, and I kind of tell her everything. And then I don't have to tell anyone else, and I don't have to...
Robbie.
No. Nice. Robbie
Moore?
No, you mean Joey?
Joe Moore, sorry. Joe Moore.
Yeah, Joey knows a lot. Yeah, who I know from voiceovers. What about you?
What about your voiceover friend? The one that you made the movie with?
Oh, that's a lovely impression of him. He's a lovely
Robbie
man
McGregor.
Too. What about you? Who do you talk to?
The best voiceover guy in the country. My dad, Grant, my mum, Erica, my girlfriend, Bianca, Brian, who's sitting here with us right now.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, he doesn't say a lot.
No.
He's a good listener. GretelColleen.com.au and your Instagram, Facebook,
They're
Twitter.
All Gretel Colleen. And Facebook is Gretel Colleen Official. And also, I'd love everybody to come and see our shows. Come and see the comedy. Come and see the band. It's Gretel Colleen and the Gretzkys. You come along too.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I want to see you sing.
Yeah, well, maybe you can get up and sing something too. It's just joyful. But it can be a bit hard on the ears every now and then, but giving it a go, living the life.
Having a crack, why not?
Yeah, I think that's the fun thing to do.
I look forward to seeing it.
Thanks, man.
Greta Colleen, you are a dead set legend. You're a national treasure. Thank you for being on the mic.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, and speaking of which, I have a present for you.
Oh, good. Where is it?
Everybody who comes on an episode of
nice.
Receives this special
what is
gift.
It?
So these are little suction cups.
Yes.
And that sucks on the back of your iPhone.
Yes.
And the little thing comes out of the bottom. You can charge it. Charge
wow.
It. And it says on the front, Mike charges a lot, but he's so worth it.
Oh, you're such a corny man.
And so if anyone else would like one of those, I've got five to give away right now. All you've got to do is share this episode on your Facebook page and write, oh my God, Mike this, Gretel that, whatever. You can bag us or say something nice or whatever you want to do.
No,
just share it. And the first
nice
five
sense.
People to do it will score for themselves these charges. Thank you very much to my friends from Out There Branding.
Let's hope it works.
Oh, I'm sure it'll work. They're great. It's got a little ring on the back so you can hold it like it's a ring.
Oh, my daughter has that on her phone cover.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now you have it. How trendy are you?
Hello?
You just need a phone, that's all.
Do you?
Yeah. You can just pretend to have a phone.
I love it. Thanks very much. It's all about you, isn't it, Mike Goldman? All about you.
It's all about the promo, baby. Got to get it out there. Thank you for watching.
You're very good. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for being on the show.